When my oldest daughter was much, much younger, probably in third or fourth grade, she came home from school with a note from her teacher. This was back before parents and teachers were in contact through email. The note said, "We might want to look at the paragraph she had been assigned that day in class." Now, I'm going to try to write this as true to the words she wrote that day as I can, but I'm doing this from memory, so it might not be 100% accurate. But it went something very much like this. "If I could change one thing about my family, I would get rid of my sister. I hate her. I wish she had never been born." Of course, her mother and I were both a little put off by what she had written, and she received a very stern talking to that day. But in the back of my mind, there was this voice very quietly saying, "Oh, sweetie, we've all been there." Siblings just give you all the feels. Who else is there that's so close to your age, has known you all your life, or at least all of theirs, and knows where all of the bodies are buried? They know all of your childhood secrets. Because of that, you can feel very close to your brother or sister, but they can also be annoying, especially when you are 7 and your baby sister is 3.5. As adults, we're supposed to grow out of the sibling rivalry, sibling annoyance thing. Hopefully we grow closer to them. I have a brother and a sister, both of whom I adore. But I will also tell you that my brother can be a bit of a knucklehead sometimes, and he loves to annoy me. Nobody can push my buttons quicker, and this includes my broadcast partner sitting across the table from me, by the way, than my little brother does. We're both in our 50s now. He still loves to do it. There is a time-honored tradition in music about siblings playing music together. It makes perfect sense. They share the same DNA, and they heard the same music growing up, so it follows that their musical sensibilities would fit together nicely. And you will most likely never find a better voice blend than a couple people from the same family singing together. Some of the greatest musicians in rock and roll made their best music with their siblings. Thing is, it's tough to be in a band with that person. I've been in bands, and I can't imagine playing with my brother. Are you kidding? We get to say whatever we want to each other. How many times would I stop a rehearsal, look at my brother, and say, "Mark, why do you suck?" It would be a disaster. But many have done it, and done it well. And while most have not been able to keep things together forever, while they were together, they made some great music. So tonight, celebrating the birthday of one of those famous siblings, we're going to talk about siblings. And music, and rivalries, and annoyances. And despite it all, how much we love them. And we're going to hear some amazing music. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is The Weekly List. Love is a lie. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again on another edition of The Weekly List as I absentmindedly look at my phone.
Why?
I don't know.
It's because cold.
It's cold.
You know,
you were just showing me a picture of your mom all wrapped up in a blanket.
Yeah,
She's up close to North Dakota.
Yeah.
And it's 27 below there.
27 below there tonight. And here it's 2 below, but it feels like 15 below.
Yeah.
And it's got that nice wind that just kind of tears your flesh off.
You know how I know we are deep, deep, deep in a winter?
How?
I've been at the office all day today. My office is freakishly hot. Like it just is. It all the heat from the whole building just congregates in my office, so I have to keep a t-shirt in the office and I change my clothes. I had to take my garbage out this evening before you got here.
Yeah.
And the dumpsters are like across the parking lot downstairs.
You wore a t-shirt,
and I didn't even think twice about it. It was 15 below out there.
I bet you realized as soon as you
as
got
as I was walking
the door,
back to the door, I'm like, oh God, it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah. Anyway.
And we're both sitting here in t-shirts right
yes,
now.
Yes,
isn't
we
that
are.
Great?
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
Well, Minnesotans.
We're Minnesotans. Before we get into the siblings thing.
Okay.
Let's very quickly acknowledge that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations came out this morning.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
They did. I
now,
looked at them real briefly.
We're not going to talk
right,
about.
Right.
Who we think should be in yet, because we have a whole show scheduled for that in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge, though, that they're out. We know that they're out.
Right.
We are going to go into now into deep consideration about this,
mm-hmm.
even though if you're a Facebook friend of mine, I published my my ballot already today.
Before they even had the nominees.
Right, exactly. Well,
again, it's the people that they omitted That was one of the things that kind of fueled our text conversation this morning. And that conversation was like pre 6 a.m., wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I get here at 5 in the morning. So to me, 5 is the new 8.
Yeah,
so,
and I'm in the gym.
Yeah.
At that time.
We are early rising people. What happened to us?
I don't know. It's weird.
you notice who's not on.
Warren Spahn, not on.
That's annoying, but
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden's not on the ballot.
Yeah. The Replacements were not.
No. The two most egregious omissions from the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
Warren Zevon and Joe Cocker. How is Joe Cocker not in the Hall of Fame?
And you also mentioned Little Feat.
Yeah.
And for
Little
me,
Little Feat's never going to get in.
No, they're not.
But I'd like to see him.
For me, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, they're in.
They're in. Are they?
They went in last year.
Did they really?
Or they went in this current class? Yeah, they just got inducted, dude.
Okay. I guess I missed that one.
Moving on.
Okay. Well, there we go. We're gonna need to do a little bit of research on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. Okay, sorry about that.
So, first song we heard tonight. Before we get into it.
You know what?
The first song we heard.
Dexy's Midnight Runner. Never in that.
That was the funniest thing I read all day
long.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I, of course, answered it with, no Richard Marx either.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. Anyway, you have a brother.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother and a sister. We know all about siblings.
Mm-hmm.
We love them. We hate them.
Okay.
They are Dickensian. They are the best of times. They are the worst of times.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Nathan Moyer.
That's right.
Who just published his first book. Congratulations, sir.
It came out in the UK in December. It's called Number One Realist. It's the first complete biography of Bernard Fall.
Oh, wow.
And it comes out in America in March, I believe.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, my brother...
Your brother wrote a book.
Dr. Nathaniel L. Moyer.
Your brother's a PhD who wrote a book.
Yeah. And he also used to play in a band with me.
Yeah.
And I also used to pin him down and spit in his eyes. Yeah. So this is, he's become a doctor and written a book.
I knew your brother way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Your brother was a punk. You think you're a punk rock. Your brother was a punk.
We're not even going there. But no, I do
book.
Love my brother quite
a
bit.
I have great respect for your brother.
He's in Albany, really wicked smart guy.
Yep.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that I picked him up to take him to the airport one time, and he was like, I need to stop at a bookstore, to get some reading for the plane. Now, from my point of view, if you're going to get on a plane, you buy People magazine,
mm-hmm.
right? He comes out with a book on astrophysics, literally. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, I'm glad that you're keeping it light. I suppose you're gonna have caviar instead of peanuts.
Right.
So. Okay.
So
tell me about the opening song tonight, Rich.
Well, the first song I would like to acknowledge, hang on, my brother, my sister.
Oh, yes.
My brother, like I said, pushes all of my buttons all the time. He loves it. But... I've always said the best sports talk radio you've never heard are the phone conversations my brother and I have.
Oh.
I mean, we talk sports at a high level. It's really fun. It's easy. I love my brother. My baby sister.
Yeah.
Who, is a medical professional. She's not a doctor, but she may as well be. She's a physician's assistant. The great thing about my relationship with my sister is we weren't close when we were kids,
mm-hmm.
and without getting too deep into family dynamics, we're not like an overly close family. I mean, we're fine,
right.
But we're not like super. My sister and I, and part of that is that you just don't really make an effort, right? It just is mm-hmm. what it is, right? My sister and I are making an effort to be closer, and
that's good.
I love that.
That's great.
Anyway.
Yeah, and both you and I are the older siblings.
Yes, we are.
In our family. Which
yes, we
is,
are.
There's a different kind of thing. That
it's a difficult responsibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
All right. The Brothers Gibb.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
You hate that song.
I really don't like that
song. I love that song.
I on my original
Tragedy
list,
by the way. The name of the song was Tragedy.
Right. And I think that's from Spirits Have Flown.
Yes, it is.
The follow-up to Saturday Night
Yeah,
Fever.
It's the last great disco album.
Yeah, well,
from the disco era. The last great album of the disco era, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was a little creaky in my mind. I don't like the song Tragedy. I would have gone with Night Fever. That just cuz it's got a great guitar line, that great rhythm guitar. But the Bee Gees are one of those classic brother duos because it's all about harmony and great songs.
Oh, man.
I mean, all of the things that the brothers Gibb were involved in, and then you also have to include Andy Gibb in
too.
I mean, you really do.
Well, by the time Andy died, he had actually become an official member of the
Right,
of
I
the
heard
Bee
about
Gees.
That, but I don't think that they ever released anything or recorded anything,
they didn't.
Which is a shame.
It's a real shame, because there's recordings out there of the four of them singing together, and it sounds amazing.
Four-part harmony, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Now only Barry Gibb remains,
right.
And that makes me feel good that he's still out there, but... Bee Gees were one of those acts.
My favorite story about the Bee Gees is when everything turned for them. I mean, they were very popular in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they kind of hit a career lull in the 70s. But then things turned for them again when they started playing disco. And what it was all about for them was the falsetto, right?
Right.
Barry Gibb, all three of them were in the studio one day, and Barry Gibb just decided, I'm just going to sing this song in falsetto and see what happens. And he said, I opened my mouth and this sound came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really cool. And then I looked at Robin and I said, I'll bet you can do that too. And sure enough, he could. And so, and that was where we got that sound of the Bee Gees.
You talk about disco music, that type of vocal tone,
yep.
that falsetto high range.
Yep.
It's a false voice, really.
Yeah. Yes.
That sits over for that funky low bass beat,
right,
and it
right.
works so right. well. It's that dynamic between the two. And I know that there was a whole anti-disco thing, and it really kind of did a lot of damage to the Bee Gees' career.
Oh, it did a ton of damage to the Bee Gees' career.
But I remember in 1985, I think it was, they had a song out called You Win Again.
That was 1987.
Was that 87? Great song.
Yep.
Great song. I could have easily gone with that one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to go with a disco song.
I
was always going to go with
or
Tragedy.
Or there was the one, what was it, the Massachusetts
mining accident. Yeah. Yeah. It was always, it was either going to be Tragedy or How Deep Is Your Love. Then that's the end of conversation.
So, okay.
All right.
Well, there it is.
All right.
The Brothers Gibb.
Moving on. Actually, the Bee Gees never had, well, I shouldn't say never, but they really didn't have the classic brother, like, clash.
No, they always
got along pretty well, you know? This next band, not so much.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Oasis, and this was one of my picks. I loved the band Oasis when they first came out, and I went through this during the course of the week. I have every EP that they put out.
Well, we know that because you and I did an Oasis show about a year plus ago.
And I was looking through them, and there's a song called Acquiesce, which is what we're going to play next, and it was on the Some May Say EP. And over in the UK, they would put out whatever the single was, and then they would put three songs that were all B-sides. And the first two albums, especially, Noel Gallagher was writing in a furious pace. And the B-sides, in my mind, from those first two records are better than anything on either one of those albums.
Is that right?
They're all gold. And this song is great because the whole message of it is, you know, we need each other. We believe in one each other. And you've got Liam singing all of the verses, and then Noel Gallagher is singing the chorus and all this. And right. there's also little snippets of What's the Story, Morning Glory at the beginning and at the end. And it just kind of ties it all together. And the best way to understand the relationship between the two Gallagher brothers, I've also got an EP that actually hit in the UK Top 20 called Wibbling Rivalries. And all it is two 15-minute arguments between Noel and Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
Hilarious.
And none of it can be played on the radio.
Nope.
Because there's no way that you could censor it.
You can't. It'd just be one long beep.
It's yeah.
Yeah. All right. So from 1990.
This would be 95. No, 96. This is from their second album.
This is from the
EP from their second album.
This is Oasis with Acquiesce on 95.1 for that one.
We'll be right back.
from the Brothers Gallagher to the Brothers Mothersbaugh.
And also the Brothers Kessel.
I'm going to guarantee you're not pronouncing
probably
that.
Probably not, because Gerald Kessel
was... How do you spell it?
C-A-S-A-L-E. Kessel.
C-A-S...
Kessel.
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 There, we got it worked out.
Yeah.
So Gerald Kessel and Bob Kessel...
Or was Bob 1 and Bob 2.
Yes, exactly. Bob 2.
Yeah.
Now, Bob 2 has passed away. Yeah. He died in 2004.
Right.
But
that was Bob Mothersbaugh.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. We're talking, of course, about the band Devo.
Right.
Yes, that was Devo from their 1981 album, New Traditionalists, with Jerkin' Back and Forth.
I love that song.
It's a good song.
Do. You know, here's the thing that, did you know this about Devo? Because first of all, they're from Akron, Ohio.
Yes,
right?
I did know that.
You know how they formed?
No, how?
They formed when Bob II, he had a friend of his that was killed at Kent State.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that's where the entire concept, Devo in my mind was always a very much intelligent band, very smart. Very,
what did Devo stand for?
De-Evolution.
De-Evolution.
And it was, they called themselves De-Evolution as a result of the Kent State shooting, because they saw that as, this is it. Now human beings are reverting back to all kinds of whatever. So that they came this as a concept, and they took it very, very seriously. And, you know, it's a direct response to the Kent State shooting.
Did you know that Chrissy Hynde was a freshman at Kent State?
I did know that.
She was there.
Yeah.
She saw it. She got tear gassed.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, you know, this all started because a friend of Bob, too, was Devo, was killed.
Wow.
He was one of the students that was killed in this. And
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
But then, you know, in 1981, they're jerking back and forth.
Right, you know.
And I was telling you before we went on, I think every band that was on the Valley Girl soundtrack owes a debt of gratitude to Devo. I'm dating myself like crazy by even saying that. But,
but at the same time, I mean, when did the Valley Girl soundtrack come out?
1982.
Right. At the same time.
Actually, they never officially... released a sound. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But I mean, you had Freedom of Choice, which had Whip It
yep.
In 1980. Before that, you had Are We Not Men?
Right.
We Are Devo.
Right, which is one of the most influential albums of all time.
It's an amazing, amazing
like,
record.
It was one of the albums that set the blueprint for the next 13 years.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You do not have the stuff that people love as popular 80s music without Devo.
Where would Thomas Dolby be without Devo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Living on a flat earth. But,
but, you know, yeah, I love Devo. So it was, you know, a band of two brothers.
Yeah. Two pairs of brothers.
Two pairs of
and
brothers.
Then another guy.
Right.
Are We Not Men?
We Are Devo.
We Are the Spud Boys.
That's,
right. I love Devo.
Love those guys.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So next, I've got Tegan and Sarah.
Yes.
The name of this song is called BWU, all capital letter, and it stands for Be With You. This is just one of those great pop songs.
It is. It's just a great pop song.
Just tremendous.
I had never heard Tegan and Sarah before you sent me this song. I've known of Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
It actually was, I was having this conversation with Brianna Lane, who's our new Drive Time DJ here at KYMN.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was recording the music and we were just chatting while I was recording. And she's like, is this Tegan and Sarah? I said, yeah. I said, this is not what I would have expected from Tegan and Sarah.
No.
She's like, oh, yeah, no, that's a really good representation of them. I'm like, well, I guess I just thought because they got super popular, they always had a cult following,
that
they were just another like Indigo Girls knockoff.
Well, the album that this is from is called Love You to Death, and I remember reviewing this album for print and really liking the album quite a bit, and it was a little bit of a departure for them. It's very pop focused. It's, you know, it's catchy,
right?
Catchy. So
and they're twins.
They are twins.
Yeah.
They're identical twins.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
yeah. My other thing about Tegan and Sarah is that my daughter, Sarah, when she got her cat was going to name the cat Tegan.
Tegan?
Tegan and Sarah.
That's classic. That's really good.
From 2000, what?
I think this was 2014, maybe.
Okay. This is Tegan and Sarah with.
Could be.
BW.
Oh, no, 2016. Sorry.
From 2016. This is Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
Are we done?
No. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to shut up now.
From 2016.
Yes.
This is Tegan and Sarah.
Yes.
With BWU.
Yes.
On 95.1.
Yes.
KYMN.
Yes.
The one. Uxie.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
Trust me, I walk the walk to be with you.
That was the mighty Larkin Poe from their an album that just came out in September. That was that's a live album, creatively called Live in Concert. Larkin Poe with the New Deco Ensemble. The New Deco Ensemble is kind of an interesting thing that I'd never heard of before. Yeah. They are a sort of a 21st century orchestra. They're like an orchestra that is trying very hard to bring the type of music they play into the modern lexicon.
First of all, I totally dug this. This was your pick, yep. And I'll give you credit on that. I dug this, and they throw a little bit of Allman Brothers.
Well,
in there,
that's
which that, that I'm surprised that you didn't go with the Allman Brothers. I was expecting to hear, you know,
there are a number of egregious omissions from this, and number one is the Allman Brothers. I like purposely did not pick the Allman Brothers. Although, like when we first decided we were going to do the show, the second song I had on my list was Midnight Rider.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Decided not to do the Allmans a lot because I wanted to get some female voices on here. And thankfully, Larkin Poe checked a couple of boxes for me. And they did some Allman Brothers, there it was.
That was the Blue Sky.
Yeah, that was Back Down South.
Yep,
Blue Sky.
Right,
with a little bit of Blue Sky in there.
But some of the other ones that we
by the way,
off,
it's not the Blue Sky. It's just Blue Sky. You're my Blue Sky. It's not you're my the Blue Sky.
Okay.
You sure?
Yes, I got it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it. Blue Sky.
Yes.
Okay. I was gonna say the Blue Sky segue piece, but never mind. Doesn't matter. Okay. But we also did not include the Jackson 5.
No, we didn't.
We didn't. that's huge right there.
Right. There are no Black Crowes. There's no Hart.
No, there's no Hart. And I got to be honest with you. You and I saw Hart and Joan Jett at Mankato.
Yeah.
And I thought Hart was not good.
Oh, I thought they were great that night, but Joan Jett blew
Joan
them,
Jett
off,
blew
the
them off the stage. But their version of These Dreams that Hart played, a high school band would have kicked their butt on that song.
You
that
know, okay.
Well, no disrespect to Hart fans. And I love Hart.
Speaking of bands
Barracuda.
We've seen, though, we saw Larkin Poe.
That's
open
right.
Up for,
that's right.
For
open
Bob
for Bob Seger.
That's I had gotten been given a heads up on Larkin Poe. My mm-hmm. pal, shout out to my pal Pete Sandberg, who pulled me aside and said, "You're going to see Bob Seger. That means you're going to see Larkin Poe open up for them. You want to pay attention to this band."
Yeah,
and
they were
absolutely
great.
Right.
They were.
Yeah.
I was not a huge Bob Seger fan going.
I know.
Into
I
that.
Made you. I like
right.
dragged you to that show.
I was like, well,
with
I
me.
Like Main Street. You know, I like some of the stuff and. That was a fun evening.
It was a fun
that
show.
Was that was really great.
And
Larkin Poe, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, so that was the Mighty Larkin Poe, the sisters Lovell, Rebecca and Megan Lovell.
Okay.
And actually they were in a band called the Lovell Sisters with their older sister who played a little more, they were more bluegrass folky.
Yeah.
And then older sister left and they plugged in and this is what you got.
You know,
Larkin Poe, by the way, is their great 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 grandfather.
Oh, really?
That's where the name came from.
So that's
from.
Where that came from.
And they are direct descendants of Edgar Allan Poe.
Clever. Cool.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So there it is.
You know, another band that we did not include that I almost thought I was going to throw in was the Shags.
Time now for the weekly list Haiku Corner. Brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Haiku Corner, I am Haiku Rich.
Yes, you are.
I'm gonna admit this already.
Okay.
Not my best effort this week.
Never mind.
When have I made my best effort?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to go with. How could we tell?
Yeah, it's true.
It's such a nuanced thing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, go for it.
It annoys people. I call everyone brother. It's one of my charms. I do. I call everybody brother.
It's true.
Hey, brother. What's going on, brother?
And I always use hey, man, or hey, dude.
Yeah,
dude
I'm big on dude, too.
Dude is my thing for a lot.
I'm way big on dude.
Yeah.
Dude and brother and sister. I use sister a lot, too. I feel your pain, sister. Anyway, just like Ted Nugent, he pushes all my buttons. My baby brother.
See, he just didn't.
I love you, Mark. I love you, Mark.
Okay.
We are like brothers, me and Daniel G. Moyer. We're mean, but it's love.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Imminent.
Whoops.
What? We're going to have to do this over.
Nah, we're just going to keep it in because, you know, whatever. The funny thing is I just accidentally unplugged my headphones from the jack.
And you don't even listen to the headphones.
But I'm not even because there's a weird echo in the
I'm telling you, times are tough.
I know, man.
Times are tough.
It's yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, what's going on in Imminent?
There's a pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some people are vaccinated, some people aren't. If you're not vaccinated, wear a mask.
Right.
If you are vaccinated,
you still wear a mask, but you know.
Yeah, you know. We have had to cancel music, live music, for the last 3 weeks.
That
we canceled
sucks.
This week, and we have canceled next week, too. And I had some really good people booked onto the show,
man.
Or onto the into the brewery. It was. It was tough, but I'll get all those people back. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
And there's gonna, you know, eventually this thing's gonna be over, and there's gonna be some really cool stuff happening.
Well, if nothing else, I'm really kind of hoping that when summer comes, that things can be open, and that I think that, you know, this pandemic is a little easier in summer. It's right now, it's a million degrees below zero, and so we're all clumped in together confined spaces, and so it's more problematic.
It could be worse. I just read in Southeast Michigan, mm-hmm. they're getting like 16 inches of snow.
Wow.
And it's like the wet, heavy, like a heart attack snow.
Yeah.
And
I can't.
Oh, God.
Well, and, you know,
goes out to you guys.
It's funny because my brother, you want to talk about my brother, he moved to Albany, New York in 2014. Right. And one of the reasons he was like, I'm done with Minnesota winters and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
man.
Every winter, he has more snow than I do.
Well,
I mean, it gets colder here,
but you know,
my brother is sitting in tons of snow, and part of me is kind of going,
they get more snow than we do, period.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's like Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not as cold as it is here, which, what's the trade-off? What would you rather have?
You know, here's the thing. Right now, we're in this really obscenely cold snap, and it's like this period of time, and once we get past this, right now I'm getting sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of, I had to fill my car up with gas today,
yeah.
and I'm out there, and, you know, I'm dressed for it, but still the wind's coming by, and I'm like, please finish. You know, my car hasn't been, I haven't seen a car wash in like forever. It's a red car that now looks white because it's got all the salt on it, and I can't see out the back window anytime.
This winter has officially now killed both of our batteries in our cars, too.
Yeah, that's right. Mine was a couple weeks ago.
And mine is today.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago, my battery died. Yep. In 2 weeks, now your battery's died.
I don't know who's next in 2 weeks, but I feel for you.
Yeah, somebody's, it's your turn.
Right. Hopefully, it's not someone who works at Imminent Brewing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we talk a lot about all the stuff that sucks and I feel like we don't do Imminent enough justice just talking about how awesome Imminent is. Imminent's great.
It is.
It's a great place. Yeah, there's some things you got to deal with the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
but you can still come in. You can still hang out. You can still sit in a really comfortable atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
drink some great beer. And the people who, not the people who work there, but the people who frequent Imminent, man, these are some of my most favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a wonderful place to be.
Imminent is one of those little communities that it's great to be seen and to see other people.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a place you go to be seen.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, this is, if you're looking for somebody, go to Imminent. There's a pretty good chance.
It's one of those things,
them.
Like if you don't, sometimes if I don't have anything going, which is never anymore, but like I don't have anything going on, maybe I'll wander down to Imminent and see what's going on over there. Yeah, you know, that's just. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And during the summer, that's when it's paradise.
Right. It's pretty good right now still.
Yeah, that's.
But when those warm summer nights when it's not too hot and we can open the garage doors.
Yeah.
And it's
better days. Better days are coming, and they're, you know, it's a great place to escape from all of your troubles during the week.
Sure is.
You know it is so.
Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA,
mm-hmm.
Gateway Cream Ale, Cannon River Pale Ale. Are you thinking of songs?
Good.
All
right.
Tangerine Dragon Squirrel, Prairie Creek Porter, Low Rider Lenny Stout.
Low Rider. I got to do that. I love that.
Okay.
Oh, war classic.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry that for the people that listen to the show, morning Zoom Stout.
I'll tell you, that is fantastic.
That is a great.
You gave that to me,
it's
and I tried. Oh,
this year it's a little bit chocolatier.
That's what I.
Yeah.
It is great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it caffeinated?
It's got Groundwire coffee in it.
Okay, well then that explains.
Groundwire is the roastery right here in town.
Oh, really?
So like it's almost right across the street from Imminent.
Really?
Where they roast the beans and we take them and put
that
them in
our
beer.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, that is a really impressive brew.
It is indeed. Brave Noise Pale Ale, Buzzin' Like Neon Belgian Golden Strong Ale.
Ah,
that's a whole lot of name right there. Double Agent Jade Double IPA.
Sorry.
La Tropicale Sour Ale, Zombie Palm Sour Ale, Rumination Brown Ale, Holland Hall Belgian Blonde Ale, and, you know, seltzer. So
you just really don't get into the seltzer at all, as a concept entirely.
Is
that something that you would ban off the planet?
I would ban it from my place of work.
Okay, you just do you give the stink eye to anybody who orders something like that?
No, but the entire seltzer program was developed by my dear friend Jared Allerson, who is he's the operations manager over there, and. He is just an integral part of the whole thing, and he's an OG. He's like me. He's one of the original crew. Yeah, I give him. He developed the seltzer program. I give him the stink eye every time someone orders.
A seltzer is a nice little change up. I think you get something refreshing, like a raspberry or a lime, and now you're giving me the stink eye. I mean, it's like all of a sudden I brought a Radiohead song into this, or you know. I almost did, by the way.
I know you did.
I almost did.
Pushing my buttons.
Right, exactly.
Poking the bear.
That's what I do.
Yeah. This weekend, my dear friend, Shawnee Langworthy, who is a caterer in town under the name Cafe Sean, is doing all the food at Imminent. Friday night, she's doing her very, very famous Cafe Sean pizza night. And Saturday, I'm super excited about this because I'll be working on Saturday, Cafe Sean noodle night.
Noodle night.
Yeah, I'm going to get me some pad thai, baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's delicious. Pad thai is really,
pad
really
thai
good.
Pad thai is very good.
That's the pot.
All right. So Imminent Brewing is open on Thursdays right now from 4 to 7 p.m. It is open tomorrow, Friday, from 4 to 9 p.m. It is open on Saturday from 2 to 9 p.m. when I will be there. It's open on Sunday from 2 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
If you have any questions, you can always go and visit the website at imminentbrewing.com. And as our friend Laura Myers always says, take care of yourselves and each other.
Beautiful.
All right. For my money.
Okay.
I talk about the best a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a million best everything.
The GOAT.
Right? Right? Okay.
The greatest of all time. Yeah.
You just can't say this is the best voice ever. The only thing you can say is when you talk in those kind of superlatives, very few people have sung as well as Sam Cooke. Steve Perry is probably the best rock vocalist you're ever going to hear.
Freddie Mercury, too.
Freddie's without question the hands down champion frontman,
right?
And because he was the whole package, but just as a pure singer.
Yeah, and I'm not ripping on Steve Perry at all. Right. I'm really not. I just love them
both. We're not going to play a song by Queen or Journey or Sam Cooke.
Right.
We're going to play a song by the Carpenters.
Yes.
We've never played a song by the Carpenters on this show.
No, we have not.
Karen Carpenter had a voice that was... I mean, I hear that voice, and I think, well, this just has to be the best voice ever.
It is such a clear... tone to her. I mean, it sounds like glass to me.
It really does. To me, you know what it sounds like? I'm going to make a weird Daniel G. Moyer comparison.
Oh, no.
To me, her voice sounds like mahogany. It's deep and rich and very brown. It's mahogany.
I guess when I think of her, I always think of the clarity of it. And the song that we're going to play is Rainy Days and Mondays. And it's a great song. I really like the composition. You hear a lot of Richard Carpenter in this as well. And they have a unique blend as well.
And they were brother and sister.
Brother and sister.
Yes.
Unlike
the White Stripes, who everyone thinks was brother and sister, but they're actually ex-husband and ex-wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Another good example, you went with Rainy Days and Monday. I would have probably gone with Sing because of the clarionness of her voice. But... I always think it's funny that Karen Carpenter was also a drummer.
Yeah.
I remember this once that there was like, I forget what magazine it was. It might have been Playboy, that she was voted the number one rock drummer of like 75. And John Bonham flipped out on that. And I remember hearing that and going, and I loved the Carpenters. I did. My parents had the 8-track of the singles,
right,
you know, the 69 to 73, and played it all the time because I loved it. But I remember going, okay, I love the Carpenters. I love Karen's voice. She's not a drummer.
Right.
So, you know?
There's an old, old joke, and the opening line of the joke shows you how old it is.
Okay.
Jerry Garcia dies and goes to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jerry Garcia died 1994.
96.
Yeah. A long time ago. Anyway, Jerry Garcia dies and goes to heaven, right? And he, you know, passes away and he wakes up and he's standing in this room holding his guitar and there's all this equipment. And one by one, all these people come. Jimi Hendrix comes up and starts getting his stuff together. And I, you know, I don't remember who, but there's a, you know, his old pal Pigpen from sits down to the keys and he's like, this is outstanding. This is amazing. I got to heaven and now I'm going to jam with a band. And Hendrix looks at him and says, heaven. And then Karen Carpenter walks in, sits down to the drums and says, okay, everybody close to you. 1, 2, 3.
Jeez. That's nasty. It's almost kind of funny.
Yeah. Anyway,
I loved Karen Carpenter.
Oh,
the whole band of the Carpenters. The thing that was difficult is there was a lot of tragedy in that band. I mean, there was just a lot of really horrific stuff, and that's a shame because I think that Karen Carpenter was just such a beautiful person in so many different ways, and she had a voice that was.
Yes.
Her voice was direct from heaven.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing that when, even, you know, Rainy Days and Mondays, the ache that kind of goes in the sound of the voice when she sells this song.
She does.
So listen to this.
She sells it really well. Having to work sort of around her brother's sometimes pretty cheesy lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, what I've got, they used to call the blues.
Yeah, right.
You know, okay.
And he was a tough person. He was really into a lot of substances and things like that.
He was really into himself.
Yeah. And that was tough. And I think that I see Karen Carpenter as a very sympathetic person, and she really struggled with a lot of things in her life, as a lot of people do.
She did.
And I think that that's...
Her death was tragic.
I really wish that somebody had sat her down and really said, hey, I love you, and let me help you.
Right.
You know, and I was... When she died in 82. That was devastating for me.
That was rough.
And... I hope that a lot of people took what happened to her to heart and got themselves taken care of. And I know that some people did.
A lot of people did. Yeah, I mean, eating disorders are still a
god-awful
thing.
It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's.
And you need to support people.
Right.
You do.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we got to take care of each other here, folks. So this is The Carpenters with Rainy Days and Mondays on 95.1 KYMN.
The Ooksie.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got, they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around, some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. we know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel has come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but cry.
Jim and Sharon, the band known as the Coors from Ireland, with Summer Sunshine here on the Weekly List.
That's a neat little song.
I love that song.
I know you do. I mean,
yeah.
That's a song that, you know, they're sitting in Ireland going, let's write a song for Don Moyer.
and they did.
They came up with Summer Sunshine.
I mean, I like the little pause that's in the verses, you know, ending, you know, that kind of bit.
Yeah.
And then when the guitars come in the chorus.
Yeah.
That's
it gives you visceral reactions.
Oh, yeah, and you're playing this, and I'm like literally jamming,
like jumping up and down,
air guitaring in the studio,
which
tonight.
I fully expected you to be doing.
Well, yeah, that's
I heard the song and I saw you totally air jamming,
and the hair's out, it's all flying around, and that's just what I'm doing. But you know, the thing that I loved about this band, because there's a lot of traditional Irish Celtic melodies that are involved in this. And I mean, the band itself, you've got Andrea, who's the lead vocalist, and she also plays tin whistle. And that gets incorporated. Carolyn, who plays drums, also plays a bodhrán, which is an Irish drum.
Is that that thing? It's got the handle sort of in the middle.
I've got a bodhrán.
Oh, okay.
I should. So anyhow, I've got a bodhrán. And Sharon plays the violin. Yeah, everybody sings.
She is a virtuoso.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
And then the oldest in the family is Jim. He plays the guitar. Everybody plays piano, and so they all contribute to all of this stuff. And the Corrs never, I think, really, really caught on in America.
They had one big, big hit.
Yeah, Breathless.
Breathless. And a smaller hit with...
Forgiven, Not Forgotten.
No.
This is the right time?
No, their cover of When the Stars Go Blue. Ryan Adams songs with Bono.
Right. So. I think that was from MTV Unplugged. I actually love the Corrs, of course. I think that the In Blue album was their biggest in the United States, and it hit number 21.
Yeah.
And I went and looked every place else. It's like number one or two is where it peaked. And, of course, I'm going to love them for all of that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. So moving from one...
By the way, T-Bone Burnett produced their last album.
Did he really?
Yeah. 2017. You know, let's see. What was it called? Jupiter Calling.
One of the things, folks, you were deprived of while we were on hiatus because of the studios had to be remodeled and stuff, we were going to do a T-Bone Burnett show.
I know.
We're going to have to put that back on the list for January next year.
I just thought it was interesting. I thought that would hook you in, T-Bone Burnett.
Well, you didn't. I'm already in.
I know.
I'm sitting right here. What do you want?
Well, here's the thing. You always rip on me, and when I go, well, it's number one all over Europe, and I'm like, nope, not America. Well, in America, it's 21, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, whatever, you know.
Okay, there it is.
All right, we go from one band full of brothers and sisters to another band with three sisters and a brother and their dad.
Right.
Yep, the Staples Singers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This song is not I'll Take You There.
No.
Nor is it, what's the other, like, really popular Staples song? I can't remember.
Well, I hadn't heard this song before.
I had.
I had not. And I heard of this, and I my first thing is, wow, this is a, what is it that they want to do again, Rich? I'm confused. It was a very, very sensual song.
You should know that this was not a song that was written by the Staples Singers.
Yeah, because it does not sound like... Yeah, no. I don't think Pops would be all happy on this one.
You know who wrote this song?
Who wrote this?
The great Curtis Mayfield.
Okay, now that makes a lot of sense.
I actually heard this song for the first time. There was a... Before he passed away, in between the horrible accident that paralyzed him, Curtis Mayfield was performing in Central Park, and there was a weather event came up, and a big wind hit the stage, knocked the lighting truss on the stage, and landed on Curtis.
Yeah.
And he was paralyzed from...
I think it was the waist down.
Oh, I think it was from the shoulders down.
So it was
he had use of his arms and his hands a little bit, but like everything below his armpits was done. Yeah.
Man.
And it was horrible. So he died 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
In between then, someone put together a really good Curtis Mayfield tribute album, right? And it's got Springsteen and B.B. King and a whole bunch of people. But Eric Clapton, I mean, it's fantastic. And Curtis makes an appearance. It's the last thing he recorded was this song. He did a duet, and I can't remember the... oh, man, there is such a great version. Gladys Knight on that album does such an amazing version of Choice of Colors. It's so...
Really?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I
got to
look this thing up, man.
It's so good.
I hadn't heard that.
Anyway, but Curtis sings it, and that's where I first heard the song. And then a few years ago, that's a Staples song. Staples did that song. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mavis Staples is I mean, she's like,
what a voice.
Yeah, right. And her sister Cleotha was great. Mm-hmm. But even though this is a siblings show, my favorite member of the Staples is Pops. One of the things I love about Pops, never mind the fact that he had this voice that like was just, he was an old man when they became famous, right? He's like in his late 50s when they became famous. And like,
wait a minute. Late 50s is not old man. I'm just going to say.
I know. You're right. But for by rock and roll standards.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, okay. And his voice was already starting to wither. Mm-hmm. So it's got this, it's this thin tone, but it's so good. It's so soulful. And he could write great music. There's a movie called Wag the Dog with
Dustin
Hoffman and Robert De Niro. And there's a whole thing in there about like they're doing a charity like benefit. So like We Are the World style song, right, for this person who's lost. And there's a great scene in there of Willie Nelson and Pop Staples working together to write the song. And it's really cool. It's just great. Anyway, the thing I love most about Pop Staples is he had two fantastic names. First of all, Pops, what a great nickname. Yeah. I'm Pops. Just Pops, right?
I'm Pops.
His real name, Roebuck. Why? If you had a name, if I had a name like Roebuck, I wouldn't let anyone call me anything else.
Yeah,
I am Roebuck.
But Pops, I mean, you could go Pops Roebuck.
Right.
Pops
right.
Roebuck Staples.
Yeah. Roebuck Pops Staples. You know, I just, yeah. Anyway. Anyway, we're going
to... Okay.
Here's the Staples.
This song, however, this was a pretty amazing song. I mean, there's...
They recorded this for a movie with the late Sidney Poitier.
Oh, really?
And the now shunned Bill Cosby.
Oh, what was the name of the movie?
Let's Do It Again.
Okay.
Here's the Staples with Let's Do It Again on 95.1 KYMN, The One.
Oh, sweet face. Or laid up next to mine. Sweet love in the midnight. Good sleep come morning light. No worry about nothing. Just getting good. Just getting good. Just getting good love.
Somebody get Pops a juice box.
This wage.
Okay. That was the Kinks from their 1986 album, Word of Mouth. Folks, I got to apologize. Dan and I just sat here for 10 minutes talking about how great the Kinks are, and you didn't hear a word of it.
We got to talk more about the Kinks, man.
This wasn't even a thing like where I forgot to turn off the microphones. We just started talking. And
which
like,
we do.
And I just had to yell at you, like, why are we talking about this without recording it? We just had a great conversation about the Kinks. That song, first of all, was written and sung not by Ray Davies,
right,
but by Dave Davies, the brother of
Ray Davies,
right? Today is Dave Davies' birthday.
Yep.
And Dave Davies is the inspiration for this show this week. That song, Word of Mouth, came out just before my senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. I loved it from the whole album, from the word go. But that was the song especially that grabbed me. And I remember listening to that song during the 1986 World Series. And it's a moody song. It's great for a rainy fall evening. And it is
such a quintessential British song.
It is indeed. And the great thing about that song is I'd forgotten about it for years and years and years. And then one night I was watching The Sopranos and they threw that song in there. And
nice.
I just, like, my head just snapped. Like, oh.
Well, you know, you had mentioned this song. And for some reason I was thinking, I instantly went, okay, that's the album. You know, I knew the album. And for some reason, I think it was, I went, Do It Again, which is the lead off. And then I went, well, wait, no, that's not it. And then I played this song and I went, oh, that's right. This is that.
Yeah.
I had totally forgotten about the Word of Mouth album. And I think that's the biggest problem with the Kinks. Because one of the things that we were talking about, when you talk about quintessential British invasion artists, you got the Beatles, you get the Rolling Stones, you get the Who.
They're the big three.
Those are the big three. And then a little bit, the Kinks.
There's a drop off.
Yeah.
But I will say that in my mind, the Kinks occupy that number four spot.
Yes, they do. Nobody thinks about them, though.
Well, and actually, you know who agrees with me in this?
Who?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah.
In consecutive years, the Hall of Fame inducted the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, and the Kinks.
Yeah, you know, so it's like you get the A grade, and then it's like an A minus B plus grade.
Yeah.
You know, that you got to give the Kinks. But you had made the point that stick Ray Davies.
Right.
Make the point.
Put Ray Davies exactly, and it's not as much of a drop off as like you think. Put Ray Davies in the same room as Pete Townsend, John Lennon, Keith Richards.
Yes,
he's a peer. He's an equal to all
absolutely.
Of those guys. He
absolutely.
You know, this is the man that wrote Celluloid Heroes. The man who wrote Lola.
Yeah,
for gosh sakes,
you
know?
Really got me.
You really got me.
Where
and
all
day
the
and
good
all
times
night.
Gone,
right?
Waterloo Sunset.
Waterloo Sunset, right? And this is another cool thing about, for me at least, a cool thing about the Kinks. Their career is a little bit herky jerky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they have these creative bursts, and then they go dormant for a while, and then there's like 6 years later, there's another really good album, and it goes dormant again. They had that great run in the late 60s where they first came on the scene. Then in like the mid 70s, you get Lola, you get Celluloid Heroes, and you get all that. And then in the early 80s, man, the Kinks had the early to mid 80s. The Kinks had this run of three albums. Give the People What They Want.
State of Confusion.
State of Confusion and Word of Mouth. And they're the three most complete albums of that band's career, and they're so good.
Yeah,
they're great.
We gotta have a Kinks.
We're gonna have to. Yeah,
because Ray Davies was such a quintessential British writer.
Yes,
it was clear that he was writing from a very British point of view, which is a different mindset.
By the way, we're talking about these guys like they're dead. They're not dead.
They're not
dead. In fact, there's talk of a new Kinks album.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
you know, and so somebody's going to get a black eye.
Well, yeah, because
I mean,
Ray and Dave cannot be in the same room together.
No, they can't.
For more than about 12 hours.
They actually probably are the original
fighting rock and roll. Well, actually,
siblings.
Phil and Don are the original.
Terms of like, did Phil and Don actually hit each other like to a pulp? because I know that Ray and Dave did.
Ray and Dave beat each other down.
I mean, fights in the studio. And like, well, we're not going to get anything more done today.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, throwing stuff at each other. And only brothers can really do that.
Exactly.
Could you imagine being their mother?
No.
Just for a minute there.
No.
Imagine being the Everly Brothers' mother, and imagine being a Mrs. Davies. Holy crap.
You know, though, I think about Mrs. Davies, and I just think about like that like almost stereotypical hard scrabble London working class neighborhood where everyone's fighting in the playground anyway.
That's a woman who went prematurely gray.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So there we are.
All right. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of The Weekly List. This has been fun today. This week.
I love this.
If you like the show, there's a gazillion ways you can listen to us. And we have a great, although it's sort of waned a little bit lately. We have a really good presence on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on the Twitter, we're on the Gram.
I'll tell you something on the Gram. We're now up to 58 followers. When I checked this afternoon.
You got any names?
No.
Okay.
Because it was like it went from like 32 to 58. So
yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know.
But tell your please tell your friends about the show. I hope you had a good time tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. We work really hard on this show. I think that this thing could. I think there's a lot of people out there that could like the show.
Just hope that you're having fun with it.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's a good Thursday night.
Please tell your friends about us. Leave us a review on one of the podcast platforms, Apple or Google. We're not gonna talk about Spotify tonight.
There's the elephant in the room.
Right, exactly. there it is. Thank you. You can podcast us, you can stream us off of kymnradio.net on our podcast or on our program page. We are on obviously KYMN Radio 95.1 FM 1080 AM 7 p.m. most Thursday nights, unless we are preempted or unless we have to take a week off. By the way, we have to take a week off first week of March.
We do?
Yeah. I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay, so yeah. I'm going to be wandering aimlessly around places on Wednesday nights. And
I might have something for you to do that week.
Okay,
but we're going to talk about it off air. We'll see. Okay, but just you know, folks, plan accordingly. Your first week of March, no new weekly list.
No.
If there's a repeat you'd like to hear, email us at contact us at on the Gram or on whatever, and let us know if there's something you want to hear again.
Even though you could stream any of these at any given moment.
All the podcasts, like I've got every episode available on our podcast platform.
Yeah.
You can go back and listen to the very first edition of The Weekly List from June of 2019, which feels like 8 million years ago now.
I don't even remember.
Life was so different. Life was so different. Well, that's part of it, actually. I was doing
that's why I don't have a memory of it.
I was doing the show solo. I did the show solo for a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, that was hard. Those were harder days.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
You know what? So we have a lot of omissions on this, you know. But one band we could not kick off the show. We have to have. You know, I kind of like this. We started off with a band that of brothers that were born in Australia and moved to England. We are ending with a band of brothers born in Australia and moved to England. AC/DC, baby.
Absolutely. And this was an undeniable choice for me.
Yeah. It's not the most obvious choice. And frankly, for the era, even for the area you went, it's not. Mm-hmm. I love this song. I'm really happy with it. But I would have gone.
It never came out in America. It didn't come out until later, because the album is originally from 1976, and it did not come out in America.
No,
because this is Bon Scott on vocals.
Right.
He was dead by the time for when
and
this
Bon
came out.
Bon Scott died in 1979.
Right.
I remember listening to this album when I was like 10 years old.
And let me explain to you how this was done. The Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap album was released in Australia in 76. They did not really have a hit in America until Highway to Hell on 79. And then Bon Scott, who is actually Scottish, by the way.
Yeah,
and the Young Brothers, their origins are also in Scotland.
Right.
Okay. So anyhow, Bon Scott died After a night of drinking, they found him dead in his car.
In the backseat of his car.
In the backseat of his car. So the Back in Black album was recorded as a eulogy to Bon Scott with Brian Johnson on vocals. Yep. And so anyhow, Back in Black was an even bigger album than Highway to Hell. And people started going, okay, so who's this Bon Scott guy?
Right.
And so then all of a sudden, Elektra Records, in all of their infinite wisdom, because that's what a record company does, goes, hey, we got this album with Bon Scott that hasn't been released. Let's put it out. So they put it out after Back in Black in America, and they pushed the single Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, and that's where it took off. And Dirty Deeds, in my opinion, is my favorite. That's my favorite AC/DC album. And it's, you know, Justin Morneau, Minnesota Twins?
Not personally.
Well, massive, massive AC/DC fan.
Okay.
And since I was working at the Twins, I was working Twins Fest with him. And I've met Justin a couple times. So we're hanging out, doing the autograph stuff. And I know he's a big AC/DC fan. And so I was asking, you know, what are you going to do for walk-up music, blah, blah, blah. And he asked me what my suggestions were. And so we had a nice conversation on that. But I remember he said, you know what my favorite, my most valuable piece of memorabilia is? And I went, no idea what. He goes, I've got a copy of an AC/DC album, and I forget which one. He says, that's signed by every member of the band, including both Bon Scott and Brian Johnson.
Wow.
And for me, that was a cool moment because I'm at Twins Fest with a guy. All these people are coming through with their memorabilia for Justin Morneau to sign, and Morneau is sitting there telling me that his most prized possession is this signed album and how much he loves this band.
That's pretty cool.
And for me, that really humanized Justin Morneau.
Okay.
Because he's a fan just like everybody else. He's great first baseman, great hitter, all that kind of stuff. It really humanized, and it was AC/DC that did it.
Yeah, well, there you go. AC/DC making people human.
There it is.
All right. Folks, thanks for listening. And Danny?
Hey.
Always a good time.
This was a blast.
This was really fun.
We'll see you next week.
Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.